Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do, when
and one
was
day
a little girl,
I grew up,
when
and
I started to live alone.
You are tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is The Old Shepherd Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all has been well in your family circle, and I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. And I hope and pray that you went out to Mass in the various churches on today, and I know that God met you there. And those of you that wasn't able to go out, physically go out to church service or Mass, I want you to just come aboard the old ship of Zion. You are welcome. I welcome the guests. I welcome my colleagues. I welcome my friends. I welcome the kinship family, and also the kingdom family. And I will also just welcome all of you that are out there in my digital audience, those that, like I said, you know, haven't had the opportunity to go out to church. Well, I want to let you know that I am bringing the church to you. You don't have to have an automobile. You can just come right there and get in the front, hallelujah, of your mobile devices, may it be your laptop, may it be your tablet, or may it be your smartphone, and just tune in to the old ship of Zion, hallelujah, where your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. So I just want to just take this podium and to just send out condolences to those of you that has lost loved ones, may it be in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, hallelujah, the last 24 hours, 30 minutes ago, seconds ago. And we do that to let you know that you are not alone, that you have prayer warriors, you have pilgrims, you have just disciples that are praying with you and for you in your hour of bereavement. And we want you to know, hallelujah, that we're standing here with you and praying that God will bring about your joy and restoration back unto your heart and your spiritual soul. So we want you just to look up and be encouraged on this afternoon. Hallelujah. And okay, and so now I want to take this podium once again to just continually to thank those of you that continue to tune in and make the old ship of Zion a part of your listening program. And for doing so, God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. Hallelujah. And I'm not just saying that it's just not words that, you know, that are just coming from my mouth, but those are words from the Lord, because God says that he blesses a cheerful giver. And may it be your time or your talent, whatever you render unto God, God will in return bless you. So I just want you to know that the old ship of Zion, thank you, hallelujah. And I tip my hat off to all of you that continually, hallelujah, being a blessing to this program. All right, so we're going to move right along, because we know that time is moving, hallelujah, as we speak. So now I'm asking you to just come on in, get all your digital devices, and I have the chat room available for your sitting and your listening pleasure. Hallelujah. And so I want you to just bow your heads as we go into our opening prayer. And each time that we come across this podium, we fail not, hallelujah, to acknowledge our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming Messiah, I want to introduce the psalm and present to others. Hallelujah. He's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he's born. He's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. But we know one day this same Jesus that came over 2,000 light years ago is going to return one day in all of his glory and all of his beauty. But until that time and that moment is upon us, we will continue in his will and in his way, moving upward and onward. Hallelujah. And so we just thank God for allowing us this opportunity to come across this airway and skyway and unite, hallelujah, in fellowship in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. And so I just want you just to just come into this service this afternoon, Father God. Hallelujah. And we will just let your spirit touch those that are listening out there in our audience, God. Hallelujah. We just want to thank you, God, for your love and your sovereignty. You have a love that's unmeasured, God, and we thank you. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity, God, once again around the spectrum, God. And God, we will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, God, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims, God, traveling through this barren land. I'm asking you on this evening, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. Lord, enable me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul, God. We'll be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the temple cathedral of God and his people say amen and amen. Hallelujah. So right now, I'm going to go and give a few announcements. And we have new that we brought to the old ship of Zion, and that is, at the conclusion of this program, if you have a miracle testimony, something grand, something great that God has done in your life, and you're not ashamed, and you want to share it with the world, you're welcome to call in. Hallelujah. I will prompt you when you can call in to the studio for your prayer connection. Whatever prayer petitions that you have placed at the foot of Jesus, we will stand in the gap and we will be praying along with you and for you. Hallelujah. That God will honor your prayer petitions. But those that God has already done something grand and dynamic in your life, and like I have already forestated, and you want to share it live, you can call in and speak live with your host and moderator, Overseer Janice Ward. Just overlaid to just hear what God is doing in the lives of his people. We know that God is still working miracles. As he did of days of old, God is doing in today's world. But if you have a prepetition that God has done something wonderful, he's answered your prayer of something that you had down off in your heart, you wanted to come to fruition, and God heard you, because God, even hear our just smallest whisper, God hear our humble cry. We don't always even have to speak it, because God is a heart regulator, and he's a heart and mind reader. So God has done something omnipotent in your life, and you want to share it. here's the place to come to share your testimony. And the number to dial into the studio for your prayer connection is 646-200-3074. Those numbers again are 646-200-3074. So this is something that God placed in my heart to bring across, and I thought it would really be nice and something really vital, you know, to share, because God said he wants us to share in each other's triumphs as well as our tragedies. We are to weep, pilgrims weep, and to rejoice when our pilgrims rejoice. Hallelujah. So anyway, like I said, at the conclusion of my sermon, I will open up the studio where you are welcome to call in for your prayer petition and also for your testimony of praise. Let the world know that God is blessing you. God is honoring his people's prayer in today's world. All right. So we now going to take you into a live program that's already in progression. Hallelujah. And so I sermon on this afternoon. Hallelujah. I just thank God for being able to come across here yet another day. And our today's hallelujah sermon entitled Uncommon Beauty. Hallelujah. And we're talking about different elements. We're talking about self-righteousness. We're talking about judgmental individuals. We're talking about living a holy lifestyle, and that's attractive lifestyle that will attract other people to God. So we are to live, hallelujah, in a way that others will want to know God and will want to know Jesus and his love for mankind. You know, with some folks, we know that the word holiness, it conjures up images of stuff it proves. People who are good in the worst sense of the word. Which we know that sullen and moral face, they are full of self-righteousness and rigid duty. Hallelujah. And this is on hold for the next life. Most people long for truth and goodness, yet their desires can be frustrated by what they see in some Christians, whom they perceive as self-righteous and judgmental. We know to the unbelievers, such virtue is far less interesting than vice, with the results that they cling to their vices, even though they may hate them. We know that one sanctimonious hypocrites make 100 believers. Would that the world saw the real thing. We're talking about that extraordinary quality of life, which Peter speaks about. A life so winsome and attractive that it will draw others to the Savior. In the epistle law of 1 Peter 2:12, we know that if only just 10% of the world's population had holiness, hallelujah, we know that a happy and converted world this would be in the end year, or before the end year. But you know, we can have it. As you and I and us, as we yield our lives to God's spirit within, we can live lives of uncommon beauty. Hallelujah. And that's what we're talking about on this evening. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that we can live this life of Christ as holiness and righteousness. It's not hard because God's word tell us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So God said it and God's word will not return back unto himself void, but it will go out and perform what God has sent it out to perform. And we can live an uncommon beauty before a watching world. We know that the Isaiah poet answered us, the Lord will beautify the humble. That scripture reading, my brother and my sister, is in the law of Psalms 149:4. Hallelujah. So you and I and us are encouraged to live so that others will want to know Jesus. You know, if we're not living the life that we are singing about and that we call ourselves preaching and ministering about, then we are deceiving not only the world, but we are deceiving ourselves. We're not deceiving anybody else because God sees all and God knows all. So, you know, we should live a life that others can see Christ through our lifestyle and say that there's something different about that individual. They can see you from afar off and know that it's something different about you. They can see that glimpse of God, holiness, hallelujah, that headdress that signifies that you are a man, a woman of God in the sense of the world. In the sense of the word. They can sense that something about you that stands out. And the only thing that can stand out is the holiness lifestyle that you live and that you possess inside of yourself. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus was just an infant, the Bible says that his star was shining in the east. So that meant that light that Jesus beheld, every individual that was heading in that direction, that came upon that halo, that was Jesus' beauty and his power. Jesus had power even as a baby. So Jesus tell you and I that we can have it as well, just for the asking. When God come into our lives and he removed the old lifestyle that you and I once possessed and put in us a new dimensional lifestyle of living for him. So we change gears and we change places, people, and things. We know that the things that we used to do, we do not do them anymore. The places that we used to go, we don't go to those places anymore. Those honky-tonks and the Jew joints, the nightclubs, the titty bars, the hotels and the motels. Do drop in Lover's Lane, Holiday Inn. Hallelujah. At the Red Roof. Even your lingo, your speech has changed, and God has changed. We know some of us was a cussing machine, but God reached down and touched us with his omnipotent power. Hallelujah. Took all of the grind and dirt, the miry clay that we were found in, clean you and I us up for Jesus, hallelujah, for his purpose. See, we are on a mission and we are on a purpose for God to live out this life in holiness and righteousness. This uncommon beauty that God talks about that will bring other men and women and boys and girls and youth, hallelujah, and young adults alike, and even you in the golden age. You said, Overseer Ward, I'm too old to be holy, but I beg to differ. You never get too old to serve God, to live for God, to put away the old and take on the new. The new you improve. See, when God come in our lives, fill us with his Holy Spirit, a Holy Ghost, then we are new. We are a new creature, God said, in Christ. And like I said, that we have on a new attitude. We take on a new attitude. We have a new way of wearing our hair, new way of dress code, new way in which to speak. We don't use all those unseemly words that I can't even say because it's a sin. But you know what I'm talking about. Those words that was just so, just make you ashamed to know that you even talk like that. But we know that when Jesus come into our lives and save us with his saving power that only he can do, then our family, our friends, in our workplace, in our communities, at the laundromat, at the post office, through our daily itineraries, individuals can look upon your face and see that uncommon beauty about you, because the Bible tells us that you and I and us are the city that sits upon a hill. And if you look at a lighthouse in your travel, some of you might live where those are lighthouses. And most lighthouses sit upon a hill, and the light forever shine. And you know that, hey, there go a lighthouse. And so the Bible tells us that we are the city that sits upon a hill. See, we are to live, not to distract and not to make others not to want to live for God, but will love to live a life of Christ. It is the most, oh Lord, it is the most beautiful a lifestyle that one could have. Not saying that You won't have your ups and downs and your turnarounds. You won't have your tsunamis. You won't have your tornadoes, spiritually speaking. You don't have your booby traps that the enemy tries to set before you, your booby traps. But God said that as long as we are on planet Earth, we will go through trials and tribulations. But God's word declared that he will see you and I and us through them all. So we know that it's not a day we won't be going through something as long as our feet are planted on the soil. We'll be forever going through. But we have God's word because he said that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, but I will be with you to the end of the earth. That is what Jesus has promised you and I and us. And you know, Jesus never promised us anything and don't comply. Jesus is a holy deity. He is an omnipotent power. That's what he is. We know that he came down from heaven 1,000 light years ago in human form. But today, he is a spiritual force to be reckoned with. Hallelujah. And that same power that Jesus possessed, he gives unto you and I and us. He says, that same power I will give unto you. Hallelujah, that you can go and you can lay hands on the sick, and through me they shall recover. You can lay hands on the dead and they can come back alive. You might say, oh, say, Ward, I don't believe that. But you said, I don't believe the hype. But this is not a hype. This is not fiction, but this is factual. God said that he will give you power after the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you and I and us. Hallelujah. You can lay hands on the lame and they shall walk. You can lay hands on the blinded eyes and they will have vision to see. You can lay hands on the dumb and they shall talk. These are the attributes that God will enable you and I to perform, but only under the omnipotent power of God and of living a holy and sanctification lifestyle can you have. Hallelujah. These attributes. So we're going to keep on reading because we know that we're trying to get in quite a bit in such a short time, because we have part two, and that is our hymns of Zion. But we're going to keep on reading until we come to its conclusion. So, you know, I'm reminded of chickadees, hallelujah. And we're told that the surprising level and the complexity and the noises that it makes. We're told that a chickadee makes an alarming call. And researchers found that the chickadees use a high frequency. So what it does, it call and make a sound to call and warn others of danger in the air. Depending on the situation, we're told that the chickadee's call can cue other birds about food that is nearby or predators that are perched too close for comfort. Studies has also found that the chickadees don't sense danger from large predators, such as a great horned owl, because they're not likely to prey on such a petite bird. But smaller owls, which are closer to the size of the chickadees. Hallelujah, more of a threat. So they are prompted and they have a sentinel chickadees to repeat the alarm sound of their call. And we're told that the chickadees is a distinctive, has a distinctive D note. And so we know that a similar level of awareness might serve us well in the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. We find out that he just didn't condemn the evil of the world, but he also focuses attention on the matters of heart, hallelujah, that can do you and I and us harm, hallelujah, with barely a notice. He said, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but also pursue what is good. Do not quench the spirit. All things. That scripture reading is coming out of the law. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. And then verse 19 and 21. We know with the spirit's help, lest you and I and us keep attuned to every caution in the word about yours and mine and our heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that God speaks to those who are willing to listen. And we're talking about uncommon beauty. We're talking about holiness and a sanctimonious lifestyle. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We're going to read our second key scripture, and it reads this. It says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Thessalonians 5:19. All right, we're going to move on down to our third key scripture, and it reads this. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without, which no man or woman will see the Lord. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Hebrews 12:14. So you might say, Overseer Ward, I go to church, I go to mass, I go to my choir rehearsal, I'm a good person, I never did any harm to anyone, I don't use profane language. But all those attributes are good. They are good as our character. But we know that that will not get us into the kingdom of heaven. We must be holy. And I have already forestated in the law of Hebrews 12:14. The Bible says to pursue peace with all men, with all people, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So see, God have his own guidelines for getting into heaven. We just can't get into heaven on our good looks, on our good morals. Hallelujah. On our character, on our characteristic values, but we have to live a lifestyle that are pleasing and acceptable unto God. Not saying that we won't err, because we can and we will. But we have to live this thing out. We have to live this thing in such a way that is contagious and that others, hallelujah, will want to be, hallelujah, a servant for Jesus Christ. He said that my yoke is easy and my burdens is light. God is not going to put on you and I and us more than we can bear. Because if it was so, God wouldn't have wrote it. But God knows this is something that can be achieved. And with day-to-day living holy and seeking God's face and praying continuously and reading upon his word will enable you and I and us to live an uncommon beauty lifestyle of holiness and righteousness, a lifestyle, a love of God, so people can see the love of God inside of you. So the Bible wants you and I and us to live so others will want to know the Lord. Not be living holy today and on Monday morning you're cussing like a train. But that you're the same person on Sunday that you will be come on Monday. We have to stay molded and grounded in the Lord daily. This is a daily process. And it takes God to help us, because there's nothing that we can do with our own strength and power. This has to come from above. Hallelujah. And so, hallelujah, we are told to live and pursue peace with each and every one. And the Bible tells us that holiness without living this thing out, we won't see God. You know, you have your mother that's gone on, you have your father that's already in demise, you have your grandparents, that great uncle that you were so, you know, just so crazy about, that aunt that you were so in love with, those grandchildren and grandson or granddaughter that's gone on. You say you want to see your parents, you want to see your mother again, you want to see your father again. Well, the only way that you can see them, and if they have in two lived a lifestyle, because you just can't, you know, just die and you're going to heaven. That's not the way it works. You have to live holy, and then after God has called you home, you know that you did everything that God has instructed you to do in his word. God lay out his rules of engagement for you and us to follow every day. From his epistle books, starting from Genesis to its exclusion of Revelation, God lays out his do's and his don'ts for you and I to carry out. And if the disciples, if they live holy in Jesus' day, this is just a reversal of us. We can live that same holy, hallelujah, lifestyle before a watching world. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. People will tell you, you know, I don't know how that you're able to live this kind of lifestyle, but it can be done. Hallelujah. And we know that the Bible tell us on several occasions the importance of being happy or joyful. Solomon tell us that God grant happiness to us as a privilege in the law of Ecclesiastes 3:12. 7:14, and then 11:9. Those scriptures again are Ecclesiastes 3:12, 7:14, and then 11:9. Sometimes, though, we take the search for earthly happiness too far. We see it as the most important pursuit, and even believe that our happiness is God's highest goal for you and I and us. But that's when our thinking gets confused. God's word tell you and I and us The true happiness comes by keeping God's law. In the law of Psalms 1 and 1 through 2, Proverbs 16 and 20, and then 29 and 18 of Proverbs, God demands holiness and has called us to live a holy life, one that exemplifies his moral character. In the epistle book of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7 and 2, Thessalonians 4 and 7, I'm sorry, and then 2 Peter 3 and 11, we find out that Peter's first letter, we read as, "He who called you is holy. You also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written." So, see, I didn't make that up, but it's in the word of God. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter 1 and 15 through 16. When you and I and us, when we face decisions about the way we should act or how not, be happy, but be holy. Did you hear what I say? I said, be happy, but be holy. We know that true joy will come from a holy, God-honoring lifestyle. In all I think and say and do, I long, O God, to honor you. But may my highest motive be to love the Christ who died for me. There is no true happiness apart from holiness, and no holiness apart from Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So we know that we have to live this thing out in its, hallelujah, entirety. In today's Bible reading, the Apostle Paul emphasized that followers of Christ need to keep eternity in view. He said, "Keep your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." In the law of Colossians 3 and 2, we can choose where to put our focus. We can succumb to selfish, earthbound thoughts, blurring our views of anything beyond the end of our noses. Or we can gaze through this sinful scene and fix our attention on things above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand, and we, and you and I and us with him. Then and only then are we in a position to see what's most important in our lives. Only the mind set on things above can say no to sin and yes to holiness. The choices is yours and mine and ours. Hallelujah, Jesus. The only way to see life clearly is to focus on Christ. Hallelujah. And here's our last reading. We know that the Christian life takes work too. I mean, we know that it takes work to live this thing, because it requires commitment of one's whole being to Jesus. You have to be sold out, and you have to sell out to be sold out in your body, in your mind, and in your emotions and your will to have a life that is wholesome and attractive, uplifting to others, fulfilling to oneself. Even then, we have to weed out the selfishness and the sinful attitudes that can quickly spring up and overrun the fruit of the Spirit. We know that that was the problem with many believers at Corinth. They had become overgrown with envy and deceitfulness. So Peter told them to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We know that by holiness, he didn't mean that they couldn't be sinless, but to be blameless. And we know that we can ask God assistance in this thing. to help us uproot any weeds of the flesh and the spirit before they become ugly habits. May the beauty of Jesus' character be what others see in you and I and us. Hallelujah. Identify sins of the flesh, of the spirit. Call them sin and confess them. Stand firm in your position in Christ. Hallelujah. If you yield to God, you will not give into sin. In ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Your host and moderator has been Overseer Janice Ward. Send your correspondence to P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. You can also log on to our web address. It's www.janicewardministries.org. So until we come across these airways and skyways again, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We are now opening up prayer connection line. You can call into the studio and talk to yours truly. We'll be honored, hallelujah, to pray with you and for you. If you have any testimonies that you would want to share with the world, now is time to call in to the studio, hallelujah, and share with the world what God has done and is doing in the lives of his people. Our prayer request line is now open. You can now call in. And the number on your bulletin is 646-230-74. Those numbers again are 646-230-74. So you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus, your will, because he is people friendly. We're going to now, if we don't have any prayer petitions at this time, we're going to now take you into our second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion, hallelujah, to just present unto you old familiar hymns to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah. Thank you.
shoulder to cry on. That's when you made me see that you always miss me. You are always there. You have been right there. Friends come and friends may go.
Oh, the Lord. pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining.